Welcome to the Lose Weight, Live Life podcast. If you're someone who would do anything to lose weight, yet finds it impossible to stick to a diet, to eat less, or just what you think you should, this podcast is for you. I am your host, certified life and weight mindset coach, Claire McKenzie. Listen in to learn how to stop overeating, lose weight for the last time, and create a relationship with food and yourself that you love, all without diet deprivation and self-sabotage. Hi, everyone, and a very warm welcome to the Lose Weight, Live Life podcast, episode number 160. Create the Easter experience you want without overeating. This podcast episode is a replay of an impromptu training that I did yesterday to help you plan your Easter or any other celebratory occasion, weekend or holiday, so that you can create the experience you want without overeating. But before we dive in, I have two important announcements. The first is that the Lose Weight Live Life Academy opens for spring enrolment this Friday, the 29th of March. I would love to have you join us. So please do check out the details at www.thebestyou.coach/enroll and sign up for the waitlist, and then you'll be the first to hear about the opening, about what's happening in the Academy in April, and also to find out about some exclusive early bird bonuses. Secondly, we have a Mindset Weight Wellness Coaching Experience Week coming up also in April. And so if that is something that is of interest to you, you can find out more at www.thebestyou.coach/spring24. Okay then, let's dive in and talk about setting yourself up for the Easter experience you want. Welcome everyone who is here this evening for this class all around considering how you want to create the Easter experience that you may want without overeating. And yeah, it's great to be talking to you about this evening. So let's start with thinking about what is the Easter experience you want? That is what I would really like to start with. What is it you want your Easter to look like? I'd suggest you, if you want to do this now, if you've got a notepad and pencil, then that would be great. Ask yourself this question and write down the answer. What is the Easter experience you want? And I don't want just some sort of one word answer such as to feel happy or enjoy my family. I want you to get really specific, get as sort of tangible and, if you like, as possible. So for me, when I was doing this yesterday morning, this is what I kind of wrote down. I said, have two memorable meals, with one with my parents and one with my in-laws, have some shared experiences and create some other memories with my more immediate family. So that would be my husband and my son and my daughter. It may or may not include their respective girlfriend and boyfriend. And it may also include the two dogs as well. And I want to create some special moments and do all of that without kind of killing myself, doing all the cooking and the cleaning, without trying to think that everything's got to be perfect and I've got to be like the hostess with the mostess for everyone. I do like a little bit of seasonal decorating. So for me, having a few bunches of daffodils around the house and a couple of other, you know, Easter or spring gestures will bring me a little bit of joy and make me smile. And the thing is, the more ways I can find to do that, to appreciate a moment of joy or pleasure, whatever it is, the less I'm going to be looking to get that joy, pleasure, comfort, whatever, from Easter food, from chocolate, from all of those things. So start by thinking, what is the experience that you want to have from this Easter weekend? It's going to be unique and different for every one of you. And then once you actually know, once you've got the written down, the things that you want to happen, what you want it to look like, kind of paint a picture, I want you to anticipate the feelings, the emotions that you are trying to create. So for me, it's about connection. It's definitely about gratitude and appreciation for, you know, having the family that I appreciate and love and enjoy. And it's just kind of those moments, and sometimes they're all too fleeting, but just those moments. That's all I'm looking for, is a few moments over the 4 days where I get to experience the connection, the appreciation, the joy of all of those things. So where does the food fit into all of this? Okay, because so often, and I think, as I said, tonight's class is going to be useful for you, whether you celebrate Easter or you don't. Everything that we talk about here can be applied to holidays. And
We've been doing this work a while now in the Lose Weight Live Life Academy. When it comes to holidays, we've been considering, I've been talking to members about what they want from their holidays. So often, especially if we're going all inclusive on a holiday, we kind of make it all about the food, all about the food and the drink. And what we want to figure out is how we think we feel having all the food and the drink that we think we want to have, and then work out how we can create those emotions in non-food ways. We're always looking for different levels of enjoyment and pleasure and comfort and joy, celebration, connection, other positive emotions. That's what we're looking to create when it comes to food, most of the time on these kind of special occasion weekends or on holidays. Other times it's more about avoiding some negative emotions, but we're normally looking to try and create positive emotion on these types of weekends. So when I've now decided what I want to sort of look at where the food fits in. I encourage you to do the same. Having figured what you want your few days of Easter to be like, what you want your kind of highlights or your special moments to be, I then encourage you to map out your food and meals for the entire 4 days. So all of your meals, all of your snacks, all of your drinks, I encourage you to plan ahead of time. Now, those of you, of course, in the Lose Weight Live Life Academy will know that we do that because when we are in planning mode, we're using a different part of our brain than when we make our food decisions in the moment. So when we are in planning mode, we're using a higher human executive functioning part of our brain that dogs and other animals don't have. Whereas when we make decisions in the moment, we're using the part of our brain, our primal part of our brain that is shared with other animals, that is always going to want to have what is, instantly gratifying, gives us as much pleasure in the moment, quickest and easiest thing to have, and avoids us feeling any emotional discomfort at all. It's just the way it works. And I'm not saying that having a plan means that it's going to necessarily be easy to follow the plan or, in diet speak, stick to it. But if we don't have a plan, then it's going to be much more difficult for us. The other thing that is an opportunity for us when we're planning is we get to anticipate the challenges and obstacles that come up for us. Now, I appreciate that everybody listening here, you are going to be at very different stages of your weight loss journey. Some of you may, be in the bracket of what we call not having got started yet. You might be thinking, well, I'm going to start after Easter. And you might be, noticing maybe some of what I said to you resonating about a bit of like a last hurrah, Even if you're telling yourself you're not going on a diet, you're just going to eat more healthily or make some changes that are going to, help you with your weight wellness or help you with the future health that you want. If you spent the lifetime or, three, four, however many decades dieting like I did, even though on a practical level you know that, and when you are paying attention and telling yourself you know that, your brain on default is still going to go and pitter-patter off into all of those default diet mentality type behaviors, which may look like, oh, we better eat all the chocolate we can now because we don't know when we're going to be able to have it again if we're going to eat healthily. And so, just if this is you and you're at the start of your weight loss journey, this is such a great opportunity to kind of observe yourself and learn and be curious throughout the Easter weekend, especially if you're starting, planning on changing things up after that. Just notice those thoughts around diet mentality, last meal mentality, and thinking. Don't judge yourself. We never want to judge ourselves. Just be curious about them. Just be like, okay, that's interesting. Why is it that I believe that I have to, my last chance to ever eat chocolate again is to have it this weekend because I'm never going to be able to have it again. Even though I'm a grown human adult, I get to choose to eat what I want when I want. And chocolate, even though it might not become in pretty egg shapes, is freely available in lots and lots of shops, or not freely available, you have to buy it, but readily available in lots and lots of shops throughout the entirety of the year. So there really is not a lot of restriction around chocolate other than what you may have experienced from, restrictive dieting. So just look out for that. If you are at a different place on your weight loss journey, you maybe have done like what we might call really, really well. And it might be that, you put some changes in place in the new year and you really like how that's working for you and you're feeling really good. And you're kind of approaching Easter with a little bit of sort of like, cautious anticipation, trepidation, that's the word I'm looking for. You're approaching it with a bit of trepidation. I also want you to really think about what you want from your Easter experience. And in addition to thinking about what you want in terms of a high level of joy and connection and shared moments and all of those things, I want you to be thinking about it from what you want with regards to your weight loss journey as well. Do you want to not gain any weight? Do you want to continue to lose weight? Do you think, actually, I'm okay if I gain a couple of pounds and I'm comfortable losing it again afterwards? No right or wrong, but I do encourage you to decide what you want so then you can put a plan together that supports you creating the outcome that you want. And again, I'm going to say, putting it together in principle, I appreciate, may be more difficult than what it looks like in practice. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. And part of this is going, it's always going to be a learning experience. So right now, you're going to be figuring out, all of you, how you want to eat for Easter for the rest of your life. That's what I encourage you to be thinking about here. So anyone who's been on a pretty restrictive diet and kind of thinking that, you know, you might just push on through Easter and not have anything at all, if you're thinking about that approach, I want you to be really honest and ask yourself, is that the approach I want to take for life? Because if it isn't, then I encourage you to not waste the opportunity to practice creating the Easter experience, not just with friends and family and connection and whatever else that you want, but creating the Easter experience of what you want your Easter to look like for you for life. So the right amount of Easter foods, chocolate, drink, all of it. That is what I really encourage for you to work towards. So no matter where you are on your journey, I want you to be thinking about, you know, when you are the weight and you have the weight wellness and the relationship with food that you want, how do you imagine you will be eating at Easter time? And I'm also going to say to you that the way that you eat to lose weight, at least the way that we eat to lose weight in the Lose Weight Live Life Academy, because we don't do anything that we're not prepared to do for life, will be very, very much, very, very similar to how you will want to eat to maintain your weight. Because as you lose weight, gradually, 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 by the time you get down to being the weight that you want to be, actually to maintain your weight at that lower body mass, size, weight, is not going to be any different or very, very slightly different to how you've been eating in order to be able to lose it. This is why we have to figure out how we want to eat for life on our way to losing weight. Okay, so where did we get to then? Let's go back to my notes. We got to planning, and I was talking about the importance of planning and brain. And when we've got a plan, it enables us to kind of spot and identify when we're about to or want to eat differently to how we've planned. So we've got our meals planned, we've got our snacks planned. If we've got one food treats, if we want to call them treats, I don't like calling them treats, but let's call, you know, whatever we want to call them, that's fine. We've got that planned. We're very clear on what we want our outcome and goals and intentions to be for our weight wellness journey. And then we want to have a really honest look at what we've created for ourselves to see if our plan will match up with the result we want to create. That's all we're trying to do. You get to choose all of it. And you're a grown human adult. And so you get to decide exactly what that looks like for you. So when it comes to food for my Easter, I've actually decided this year, and I'm going to say this out loud. I don't know if it'll happen or not, because I'm a chocolate person. I've decided I don't want to eat any Easter chocolate. I've never said that before. And I think one of the reasons is I've always said that something that I really enjoy is eating chocolate on Christmas Day. And I didn't have any chocolate this year on Christmas Day, and that wasn't planned. And it didn't detract from my Christmas Day. Not having chocolate didn't detract from my Christmas Day. Didn't mean I didn't have some chocolate in the rest of the Christmas period, but normally I have a big thing around having some hotel chocolate, box of chocolates on Christmas Day. And I didn't have any this year, just didn't, in the moment, didn't fancy them, which is unheard of for me. And so I want to kind of carry that forward and be curious about, okay, actually, you know what? I think I'm not going to have any chocolate this year. So that's one of the things I've decided. We will have some chocolate in the house. It will be limited. I will buy some chocolate for my kids. They probably won't eat it. It'll probably drive me mad for the next however many weeks till I throw it away. But if I don't get it for them, then they feel like they've missed out. Okay, and then for the two main meals that I'm preparing, one of them is going to be, we're going to do a lovely salmon and salad on the Friday night, and the other one will be a roast. But again, I don't actually plan on eating differently to how I normally eat over the entirety of the Easter period, because for me, it's not about the food anymore. I still enjoy preparing a lovely meal. So I still hang on to that. And I'm sure some of you will appreciate that. So I'm still would class on myself as a typical feeder. I'm not offended if people don't eat what I cook. That's absolutely fine. But I do get pleasure and joy from preparing a nice meal for people. But my intention is to not eat, to eat differently to how I would normally eat. And I can, you know, choose and make a few customizations with what I plan to do for the salmon dinner and for the roast dinner that will absolutely fit with that. Okay, so what I'm looking for from my Easter is really, as I said before, feelings of joy and connection, some self-appreciation with probably preparing those meals as well, feelings of some freedom. Freedom's always an important one for me. And also whatever the emotion is that, you know, just feeling lucky to kind of appreciate what we have and all of those things, that feels really good to me. All of that feels better than eating an Easter egg, okay? I can't believe I'm saying that. That is genuine truth to me now. I have no desire to eat Cadbury's Easter egg, something like that. All right. So I will ask you again, what do you want your Easter weekend to look like? What would your 4 days, what do you want them to be like? And when you've got that question answered, decide how you think that having that the way that you think it will look, how will it feel? Because then you will know what it is you're wanting. It's the emotion that we're wanting. When we're eating chocolate, and it's not all about the chocolate, it's the pleasure that we get from that that we're seeking. We're seeking pleasure. And the more ways you can find yourself to give you those positive emotions outside of eating the food to get them, the easier it's going to be. All right. So you're looking always to have the right mix of eating for fuel and nutrition and nourishment and comfort and pleasure to give you the outcomes that you want. That will be absolutely different for everyone. So this isn't about me telling you what to eat. All right. Now, some of you may notice that you've got, or you may not notice because you're probably not even aware until I'm going to start talking about it, that you might automatically default to telling yourself what you can or can't have, kind of what you're allowed. You might be sort of noticing, well, it's almost like you're telling yourself, well, I don't want to gain weight, but in order to gain weight, I can't have that, as if you're not allowed it. And that being in that place can feel quite frustrating. And if you are in that place, I encourage you to have a little bit of compassion with yourself and see that, and notice when your brain goes telling you you're not allowed or you can't have it, and go back around and say, well, no, I can have it. I get to choose. I'm a grown human adult. I get to own and choose all of my food choices, everything that I put in my mouth. But if I have X, Y, and Z, then it is going to create ABC outcome. Is that what I want? Well, if it's not, no. Okay, well, then actually, really, even though your brain is used to telling you that you want all of these foods, you're kind of stuck on wanting them. Actually, you know what? Maybe you just don't. Maybe the outcome you want to create is more important to you. And this is like really kind of being in the messy middle. It feels really uncomfortable. It feels frustrating. We probably spend quite a lot of time with this in the academy. I'm not expecting you to be able to sort of suddenly change things from this one class this evening and as we approach Easter. I think just knowing, having an awareness that is the place that you are at can be useful and helpful. Okay. And this feels like a bit of cognitive dissonance. It's about being in conflict with yourself. It isn't a nice place to be, and it's really a normal part of the process as well. And as I said, one of the reasons we really struggle with this is because of our previous dieting experiences. So used to being told what we cannot have. Previously, maybe in order to have sweet treats at Easter, it meant you had to break your diet, which then meant that it was a pretty big deal because all of a sudden you've broken your diet. You've taken this decision to come off your diet and stop losing weight. And then, you know, it's like, well, we're on a break now. We better make the most of it and eat all the things that we can't have next week when we're back on our diet. And that's what we want to, the place where we want to avoid being, because we're not on a diet which is prescribed by someone else. We're just getting to own all of our food choices all of the time. You're a grown human adult and you always get to choose. Okay. I don't know if anyone's put any more questions in the Facebook community or the Academy. I'm going to check in there as we get towards the end of what I want to talk through with you. So do go ahead. Any thoughts that come up as I'm talking, go ahead and put those questions in there. I'm going to take a slurp of a drink. So excuse me. Okay. All right. What else do I want to talk about? So if you do decide to eat differently to how you have been eating, when we talk about, I want you to sort of be really open with yourself, or even just intentionally think, really, because sometimes we don't really think about it. What will be the knock-on effect of that? It's not to say that I'm saying you shouldn't choose to eat the foods. Like me, at Christmas Day, I normally choose to eat a load of chocolate because that's what I want. I want you to make your decisions knowing what the impact of those decisions will be. Now, if you have been cutting out foods with sugar and refined carbohydrates, and you've not been eating much of those foods, and if you have an Easter weekend of eating lots of those foods, I want you to think about what the impact of that will be. Because it isn't just about the number on the scale. The impact on that is likely to be different, will be different for each and every one of you. Your bodies are all individual and all respond differently. But some of the potential impacts might be that you feel more tired, that you feel more hungry. Both of those are because of the impact that having those sweet and sugary foods and highly refined foods will have on the hormone insulin in your body. It might be that you feel more inflamed. And when I say that, what I mean is essentially our body kind of hot when we eat those carbohydrate type foods, high sugary foods, especially when we've not been eating them, our body retains more water. So you might notice you're a bit puffier or your rings are a bit tighter. Again, not everyone, everyone's body is different. What else might you notice? You might notice that the effect of eating those foods doesn't just sort of stop when you stop eating those foods. So, and this is what happens with me. So if I go on holiday and I eat a lot more sugary and highly refined foods, when I come back from holiday, I'm so much more hungry than I normally am the rest of the time. So most of the time, I'm not really that hungry at all. But when I come back from holiday, I'll be like, okay, right, get back to eat normal way of eating. I'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm just hungry and I'm not used to it. And again, it's because of the way that our body responds to those more high refined and carbohydrate foods if we're not used to eating them. And that doesn't necessarily mean we shouldn't eat them, but if you know that that is how your body responds to those foods, then you can plan for it. So for example, what I might do on those few days after eating different foods is have more planned healthy snacks when I might not normally have snacks, for example. So I will have more foods in the house that I can eat that don't have the added sugar and refined carbohydrates until my body kind of settles back down again and goes back to normal and my hunger levels return to normal. And even though if I'm, you know, working to lose a couple of pounds gained or something like that, it's going to slow the progress. I would rather do that than go into that kind of horrible battle with myself where I feel really, really hungry and I'm kind of fighting with myself to not eat anything. And that's just what I call a hormone imbalanced hunger result. And some of you will find that, but not all of you. So you're planning all of your meals. You've got your plan together. You've got your plan for as much non-food comfort and joy as we talk about it in the academy. So all of the nice things you're looking forward to, the flowers, whatever else it might be, a walk if the weather's nice, not look to the weather, all of those sorts of things. So you're setting yourself up to create the experience that you want, to create the emotions that you want from the weekend, and you've got your food planned to match the outcome and the results that you want to create. The next thing I want you to think about is all of the obstacles that are going to come up and get in your way. And so this might be, you know, other people giving you food gifts. It might be you just having different foods in the house. It might be that as a part of your Easter family obligations, you are with family members you don't get on particularly well with, and your default response is to sort of like, you know, comfort yourself with some food, all sorts of things. I want you to think about all the things that could come up and get in the way. Is anyone likely to give you a surprise present? Is anyone likely to drop in unannounced to have drinks or, you know, invite you somewhere impromptu? Think about all of the possible things that could come up. And then what we want to do is have you put a strategy in place for each of them. I want you to be deciding ahead of time how you will respond to each of those things that comes up. Okay, so food gifts. I'm just going to talk through a few of those a little bit now. Food gifts. First of all, if your partner, a sibling, a parent, a child always buys you Easter eggs for Easter or chocolate, and you decide actually you would rather have less or not have them this year, then ask them, I would, as quick as possible now, maybe it's too late, I don't know, maybe ask them for some flowers instead. Ask them for some flowers or ask them for, I don't know, a book or a magazine or something like that. But say, you know, I've loved it when you've got me these presents, chocolate previously, but this year, please, I would really just love to have some flowers. Not that, don't put that just word in, I would really love to have some flowers. Thank you. So ask for what you want. So that might help reduce some of the food gifts. But of course, they're always going to come in the house. So what is your plan for food gifts? You're just going to want to have a plan. Is your plan to re-gift them, donate them to a food bank, eat them, save them, encourage someone else in the family to eat them, Just really decide ahead of time. I think that, you know, what I used to find with chocolate food gifts is that no one else in my family would eat them, and they would be there forever and a day. And, you know, I would eventually just kind of eat them to get rid of them. And that is just using your body as a dustbin. And so if you are find yourself even thinking that that might be what you're doing, then I just really, really, really encourage you to just pop them in the bin. Those of you, so some of you will be wanting to maybe eat like, you know, a little bit each and every day. It's absolutely fine. What I often say to those of you in the academy, as you know, is that if you have got foods that what we call you're over desiring in the house, then you're going to want to do the work of desensitizing that over desire. So sort of like recreating a lower level of desire for them, which is ultimately what we're doing at a time where you've got the mental capacity, the time capacity. It was going to require a bit of attention from you, because I think sometimes for some of us, it feels like those foods are like always there and kind of talking to us a little bit. So you just want to have to do that at a time when it's the right time for you to do it. The other thing is, if you don't have them in the house, ask someone else, ask you to hide them, or at least put them in a cupboard where you won't see them every time you go and open the cupboard to make tea or coffee or something like that. That might make it a bit easier. Ultimately, though, I want you to decide what is worth it. Again, ahead of time, I want you to think about if you're being really discerning with your food and your chocolate choices and your drinks choices and whatever else is coming up type choices, then what does that look like? So is it that, yeah, just get really choosy, really, you know, about what you want to eat, because at the end of the day, you're worth it. So get discerning and get choosy and get picky about eating those foods I call, you know, foods we eat purely for the pleasure that they give us, which tend to be those foods that are high in sugar and refined carbohydrates and fats and all of those things. Other obstacles that might come up is you might find that you have a tendency to overeat when entertaining others or being entertained. Again, this absolutely is me, especially when I am doing the entertaining, having foods in the house that I might not normally eat, and also just spending all that extra time in the kitchen as well. I find myself nibbling and picking as I prepare the foods. I tell myself probably that it's tasting, but it isn't. It's nibbling and picking. It's beyond tasting. So just look out for that. Be aware of it. Sometimes we're not even aware, and just kind of decide you're not doing it, or decide, you know, have at least very least have a glass of water to hand. So every time you notice you want to sort of like kind of like put something in your mouth, that you're going for that glass of water instead. And then another problem that I had is that I would make these desserts that, you know, I would never normally eat, but course, probably still have some sort of, you know, tell myself, oh, that would be so nice and everyone would appreciate it. Probably nowadays, not many people would have it. Most people would say no, thank you. And I'd be left with, like, you know, a half a cheesecake or a half big cake or something like that. And then, of course, it's like, okay, it's either in the bin, it's either me eating it or it goes in the bin, because again, no one else in my family is going to eat it. And previously, I might have found that quite difficult to not eat it, or I might have eaten some of it and then put it in the bin, but I'm still overeating and eating more than I would have wanted to have eaten. So now often what I try and do is individual dessert portions for the number of guests that we have coming. And that's something that is just a little hack that's helped really well. So do individual, you know, there's little like ramekin type desserts, or buy the individual ones if you're buying them. And that can be really helpful and help you not overeat in response to when you are entertaining. When it comes to being entertained, I mostly find that slightly easier. Eating out, what I encourage you to do, simply look at the menu at least 24 hours before you go. And decide what you want to have. Again, the reason is you're using your human part of your brain, your executive functioning part of your brain, instead of your primal brain to do that. If I'm going to someone's house and I don't know what they are going to be preparing, then I would, you know, go with the intention of not overeating. So I would go with the intention of maybe it's having a small amount of, you know, most of what is going, or I might decide ahead of time, actually, I don't want to have dessert, or something else that I don't want to have. That's fine. I can just say no, thank you. But mostly, I think the important thing is to not overeat. It's to sort of eating a little bit of whatever it is, but don't overeat it. It's the overeating that leaves us feeling, you know, uncomfortably full, kind of regretting what we had, maybe having some thoughts about feeling like we weren't quite in control of how we were eating, all of those things. All right. So what else? What else might come up in the form of obstacles? Oh, this was what I was going to say. Struggling not to eat the chocolate you buy for others before you give it to them. This was me again. I'd buy this chocolate. So say it was like it's, I don't have to buy so much now. It was for my, children and my children's friends and friends' children and all of that. And then I'd find myself eating it before I gave it to them and having to go out and buy more. And this is, I don't, as I said, I don't really do this now because my kids are so much older. But when they were little, what I did for a couple of years is I would buy all the chocolate and then I would ask my mum to look after it. And the other thing that I've done is not buy it until right at the last minute. And then, of course, you can't get what you want. And I think a number of years I ended traipsing around all the shops trying to find those Cadbury's mini eggs, which seemed to sell out really quick. So yeah, just sort of like, maybe that's just me that does that and everyone else has got more willpower. But that was something that I used to do that I really struggled with. All right, so let's talk a little bit about then diet mentality that crops up. We have talked about this a bit. If you're concerned about kind of derailing the progress that you've made with your weight wellness, if you have diet mentality around enjoying yourself or treating yourself at Easter before you start again or you refocus afterwards, or if you're afraid of gaining more weight maybe and making your weight wellness journey longer than it needs to be if you've not started yet, I would encourage you to see that your Easter weekend eating, just like your holiday eating, just like any other special occasion eating, is not a kind of a point where you get to step off your weight wellness journey. It's a part of your weight wellness journey. There's lots of opportunity you can learn from it. So don't think about anything about, okay, well, we're just going to take a break and enjoy this weekend and get on with it. I really advise you not to do that and to do the things that I've spoken about instead. That doesn't necessarily mean that you eat differently. It's the approach that is important. It's this whole idea that we're either on a diet or we're off a diet that I really want you to break away from because your life is continuing. You don't get to hit that kind of pause button where you, when you tell yourself you get to come off a diet, you kind of think you get to like hit pause and wait. You're not. If you're coming off a diet, you're moving further in the other direction. You're not actually pausing or standing still. You're going further away from where you want to be. So just don't, I encourage you not to take that approach. All right, I'm going to look for some questions now. I've got one or two questions here, and then I'm going to be looking in the Facebook community and the Zoom room. So do go ahead and ask me any questions if you would like to. So Mickey said, hi, it would be interesting to hear from you how you join family and friends to celebrate whilst wanting to lose weight. The balance between social and events, so easy to lock yourself away when you're concentrating on this and not wanting to socialize. Okay, so I just want to say really thank you so much for asking the question. I think this is a really important point, important. My approach is that you have to lose weight the way you want to live for life. It really is. I really do encourage you to not think about, like adapting your life to fit the way you're eating to lose weight, and then thinking that you will be able, like, kind of go back to your life and it will be easy. I really encourage you to take what might be the slightly longer journey, might be the slightly harder journey, but kind of figure it all out as you go. So don't incorporate something into your weight loss journey that you're not prepared to do for life, such as attend social occasions and events. We can celebrate with friends without eating weight loss hindering foods, and that's different for all of us. So we can celebrate with our friends without gaining weight. We can celebrate with friends without drinking alcoholic drinks. We think about it, pregnant women who choose not to drink will still celebrate with friends. Individuals who might be gluten-free because they're celiac and may need to avoid all or nearly all of the sweet treats can still celebrate with friends. So if you're equating social occasions to overeating and overdrinking, you're really going to want to dig in deeper and get to the specifics. What exactly is it about these social occasions that you're concerned about? Is it the drinking? Is it eating dessert? Is it eating the quantities? Is it grazing nibbles? I really would encourage you to get really specific. Take it one occasion at a time and put a plan together. And it's not going to always go the way you want it to go. It's going to be a learning experience. You're going to, have a plan, find out what works, find out what doesn't work, and you're going to be able to learn from that and then move forward. That is something that I would really encourage you to, an approach I would encourage you to make. Yeah. All right. Also, again, a bit like how we've prepared here tonight, what do you want to get from the social occasions and how can you get what you want from them with the right balance of eating for fuel and nutrition and comfort and pleasure that gives you the weight loss result you want? So work out what the experience is that you want from those social occasions and figure out how you can create that, how you can get that without it having to be created by what we might call artificial pleasure with the foods and the drink. And this is all really normal, and this is like a big challenge for a lot of people, but it is one that I suggest we meet head on rather than try and go around, because we want to live life and we want to manage our weight for life. So we have to tackle it head on. All of the obstacles that come up, we want to tackle them head on. Doesn't mean we have to tackle them all head on at the same time, but one at a time, we want to tackle them head on and learn strategies that will work for us going forward. So for me, what this might look like is drink. So I often choose not to drink. Maybe you wouldn't say often, sometimes choose not to drink. Often now, if I'm entertaining at home, I don't really drink. But if I'm going out with friends in a pub or for a meal out, I probably would want to have a drink. But when I do choose to have a drink, now what I normally drink is a gin and tonic instead of joining in with the wine and the Prosecco, because I find that when I do that, I'm much more aware of what I'm drinking. It lasts longer. I probably enjoy it a bit more. And so I just feel better generally. And, you know, it felt like a little bit like I was being, you know, sticking up, not joining in, when it's like, you know, shared bottles of Prosecco being sort of bought. But actually, this is about me getting more comfortable about putting myself first and making myself a priority. So I've got used to the discomfort of that now, and I just decide what I want to do and have what I want. So, you know, this is going to come up with the food stuff as well. It's about really thinking about what you want and supporting yourself with that. And just likewise, when it comes to food, a simple no thank you is all that is required. No explanation is needed. Or you can just simply, if you've been served some food on a plate, you can just simply choose to leave it. And sometimes both of those feel incredibly uncomfortable as well. And that's okay, because you just get to choose your flavor of discomfort on your weight loss journey. You can't create a weight loss journey for life that is going to be without any uncomfortable feelings and emotions. But what you're doing is you're trading in the uncomfortable feelings and emotions that come from being a different weight to the weight you want to be, because that doesn't feel good either, for some of these different uncomfortable emotions of just saying, oh, no, thank you. Every time someone offers you something, even if it's for the 10th time, say, no, thank you. That looks lovely. No, thank you. Whatever it might be. Yes, it might come with some discomfort, but this is about you taking care of you. This is about your health and your life and all of it. And it's incredibly important. So, and this takes practice, of course. Okay, it's easier to talk about it in principle. In reality, it takes practice, and that's okay. And when it doesn't work out the way you wanted it to, we just get to learn from it. And so think through each of the social occasions at least 24 hours before you go and put a plan together. And then afterwards, reflect on it and decide what worked well for you and what didn't work so well and what you want to change. And so Mia, thank you. You asked a question. You said, my mother-in-law loves Easter and gets in all the goodies. She loves her family around her and is a little hurt if you don't have the hot cross bun or the simnel cake or the cheesecake she has prepared. Then you say, to be honest, I want it. No doubt about it. Okay. So I just want to say, first of all, really well done for recognizing both that you kind of feel some obligation or uncomfortable emotion associated at the thought of not having the foods that your mother-in-law has prepared, but also well done for recognizing and acknowledging you that there's a part of you that absolutely wants it too. The truth is, the reason why others and ourselves get pleasure from feeding people, and I include myself in this, as I alluded to earlier, is because we so often give or receive positive affirmations around foods that we give people and present. It feels really good. It feels warm. It feels connecting. All of those things. We might even be gleeful or joyful in our appreciation. But I just want to say this, and just because you may have participated in this previously doesn't mean that you cannot change your mind. It doesn't mean that you're kind of obligated to go along with it for the rest of your life. You get to change what you choose to eat and drink, all of it. You'd get to change so that you're not eating those highly refined foods forever, or having less of those highly refined foods forever. It's, I guess, kind of, if you think of it like this, if you were a smoker and your mother-in-law smoked and then you gave up smoking, and when she's still smoking, she offers you a cigarette. Yes, she might be a little bit like, if you say no, thank you, but you're still going to absolutely say no, thank you, and do what is right for you. So you get to choose. You get to say no, thank you. You get to ask for a small piece. And if, of course, you don't get the small piece and you get to leave half on your plate, it's important to remind yourself that you are always 100% in control and get to choose. even when you suspect you may have offended your mother-in-law. But the truth is, you cannot offend your mother-in-law. Whether or not your mother-in-law is offended will depend on the thoughts that she thinks about you saying no thank you to the cheesecake. And it could be that she does have thoughts that leave her feeling a little bit offended or miffed or upset or hurt or disappointed, any of those things. Or she might have a thought that is like, oh, you know, you're making some changes to how you're eating. Okay, great. That's going to be, you know, good for your future health or something like that. So you can't control how she thinks about it and how she feels in response to saying no, thank you. So I just want to say that, first of all. And at the same time, we kind of can see, maybe sometimes you might see an expression or there might be a little comment. So we make some, you know, deductions about how she is feeling, and it might feel uncomfortable, and that is okay as well. So the first time she might be a little bit awkward, she might be a little bit offended, disappointed or hurt. But as I said, you're not responsible for those feelings. And once she's used to you saying no thank you to things, if that's a novelty, she'll get used to it really quickly and it'll just become the norm, and then it'll be no big deal. All right. Okay. So you don't need to explain anything if you don't want to. If you wanted to, you could warn her ahead of time that you're like not eating some foods like that at the moment. My personal preference would be not to do that. I would just go and say, no, thank you. I would, you know, just stick with that. Okay. All right. Let me see then if we have any questions. One more thing I wanted to say actually is, think about your approach to Easter as being in like three phases. You're before, your preparation phase, you're in the moment phase of being in the moment, being present, being intentional, noticing, observing what's going on around you, observing yourself in your relationship with food. And then you've got your after phase as well. And your after phase, you want to do a few things. You want to reflect back on your middle phase and see what worked for you and what didn't, and make some notes about that, so that you can figure out what you might want to do differently next time. And it might not necessarily be next Easter. It might be next holiday or next special weekend, whatever it might be. So you're going to want to do that reflection piece. You're also going to want to notice if there's any leftover stuff in the house and have a plan for that. So really be clear about what that plan is. And if you have eaten differently to how you normally eat, then I want you to be prepared to have that extra bit of patience and compassion with yourself as you kind of, you know, ease yourself back into going back to how you were eating before, where maybe your hormones, insulin levels are a little bit unbalanced, so it feels a bit more difficult. Because I don't want you thinking, oh my gosh, like I've gone off track, I've lost it, now I'm out of control and I can't get it back. That's what it felt like for me when I came off a diet. It felt so out of my control. But I just want you to know that if it starts to feel a little bit that way, it's because of how your body and your brain have responded to how you've eaten. And you can learn ways to help your body and brain kind of re-regulate, is that a word even, to get back to where it was, so that you're feeling in control and carrying on. And the more you do that, the easier it gets, especially because you know that you can do it. So you're not kind of feeling afraid that you've lost this kind of like power that you think exists outside of you to kind of stick. Okay. Come on, Facebook, why are you doing this to me? So what's happening? Let me just explain. I see we've got 12 comments, but for some reason I can only see four of them. So I'm going to have to jump off, I think, and then see if I can come back in and see what all of these comments are that I can't see right now. That's very frustrating. Sorry about that. All right. Okay. All right, that's it. So thank you so much, everyone. I hope you have found it useful, and whether you're in the academy and or in the Facebook community. And I want to wish you all a very lovely Easter. And academy members, I look forward to seeing you later in the week. I think we've got our food for thought call tomorrow evening at 7:30. All right. Thanks so much, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed listening to this podcast and are ready to live a more intentional life, lose weight as a part of that journey, and create a relationship with food and yourself that you love, then I would be honoured to have you join the Lose Weight, Live Life Academy membership and coach with me. The programme offers different levels of support to suit you, including self-paced learning, twice weekly calls, private coaching, an amazingly caring community, and lots more. Find out all the details about when and how you can join at www.thebestyou.coach/coaching.